Welcome to Visible by Numbers with your host, Allison Bachman.
Hello, and welcome to Visible by Numbers, being broadcast on beautiful CBS Radio, the number one radio station on the Internet. This is your host, Allison Bachman, and thank you for being with me this evening. So glad to have you on board. And I am delighted to have Lisa Williams back on the show. And on behalf of myself and CBS Radio, I want to thank her for taking time out of her busy schedule to be with us tonight. Some days I just love my job, and this is one of them. And I seriously doubt that Lisa needs much of an introduction, as she has become one of America's most popular mediums, but I'll give you the short version. Lisa Williams was born in Birmingham, England, and is a medium and clairvoyant. Lisa starred in two shows on Lifetime TV called Lisa Williams, Life Among the Dead, and Lisa Williams, Voices from the Other Side. Both TV shows showcase her gift as a clairvoyant medium, as well as her lovely personality. She is also the author of Life Among the Dead, an autobiography of her life and how she became a medium. Lisa travels extensively throughout the world, sharing her gift to communicate with loved ones who have passed, helping people to understand the world of spirit, and also to help heal those left behind. She has quite an extensive website at www.lisawilliams.com, which I encourage all of my listeners to visit while you're listening to the show, because I just can't wait. It's time to welcome my guest. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
I'm one happy camper. I get to talk to you.
Well, thank you, and thanks for having me back on your show.
Well, it's always a pleasure. We had so many wonderful emails from people, just so grateful to have you on the show the last time, and I was really delighted to know that you were willing to come back. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm a big fan, Lisa, and I know a tremendous amount about you. But I want to just give you a second here at the beginning of the show, in your own words, like if you could just, you know, tell everyone a little bit about yourself, maybe someone that doesn't know who you are.
Well, I have this extraordinary and strange but yet wonderful, and I'm not the only one who has this ability or gift where I'm a medium and I communicate with those people who are no longer with us. I've been seeing dead people for since I was 4 years old. You know, it's pretty crazy sort of seeing hands and faces coming out of the woodwork and the walls and being branded with a whole overactive imagination, which my parents sort of like labeled me with.
Right.
And my father's a very big skeptic, even now, and I'm completely, you know, he doesn't believe in anything. He believes that when you're dead, you're dead, you know, and that's it. And although he will openly admit that I do change lives, which is really good. So, you know, I'm British, as you can hear from the accent.
Mm-hmm.
And, I came over here because Merv Griffin discovered me, literally, and he created a TV show around me, which you've already said, Life Among the Dead, and then went on to do Voices from the Other Side, which sadly he never got to see. The rest is history, and
yeah.
I'm on tour, and I'm loving my work, and I love being in America, and, you know, I've just met so many wonderful people.
Right. Well, I was reading, I'm not sure where, but you were commenting on how much you loved living in California and L.A. specifically, and how open people were to your work, and, you know, how much you were enjoying that. And I, for one, you know, I'm really glad that you made your way over here, because I know that, you know, I think it might have been Joseph Tittle's website, and I know that you know Joseph. He had a poll about, you know, who people found, you know, they was one of their most favorite mediums. I have to say, you won hands down.
No way, really?
Yes, you did, I have to say, yes.
Oh, my life. I'm like speechless.
Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty cute. But let me ask you, Lisa, because I can't imagine what it is like to be you. I mean, I read your book, and I know that it's not always been easy to have disability, but I'm fascinated by what kind of effect having this kind of a connection to the spiritual realm has on a person in everyday life. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, do you see dead people in stores or when you're walking down the streets, for example?
I mean, you know, a lot of people ask me that, and if I decide, and it's all a choice thing for me, if I decide that I want to be open for the day or, you know, receive messages, then yes, I will. You know, I'll walk down the street, and not everybody has got somebody walking with them, but there'll be one or two people that I'll be very, you know, I will see them, and then I'll see their loved ones by the side of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that certainly was a premise of the show where I did that, and I used to actually go up to those people and say, excuse me, and they'd think, oh, my God, what's happening to me? And then I would do a reading for them. But so there's times that I would, you know, I'd switch on and switch off, and then there's also times that I'll be completely switched off.
Uh-huh.
And I'll have somebody tapping on my shoulder, and it'll be a spirit, and they'll say, can you just tell my daughter that happy birthday, I'm her mom, and or something like that, and that's lovely. And then I'll get the psychic side coming in. I'll look at someone, and then I'll say to them, you know, this is what's going on, and this is what's happening, and this is where you should go, and they're like, whoa. So sometimes I can switch it off.
Oh, well, good. I was going to say it has to be interesting to be you. That's all. You know, it's just amazing
thing. It can be. You know, certainly when you're sitting at dinner with me and then suddenly I'll get information that will start coming in and it'll be like, oh, okay. And then my husband will say, okay, so who's with us?
Well, that's gotta be
so
fun.
It can be very interesting.
It has to be fun. And speaking of your husband, you know, you can be found on Twitter and on Facebook. And, you know, I personally have been enjoying you posting of your blog entries on both those places, which has reminded me, oh, my God, I think I'm going to go read this blog. I have a few minutes. And you have to tell Kevin that I really enjoyed his blog.
Thank you.
About the bike race or the marathon or what he ran. It was really inspirational. So tell him for me I enjoyed that. But I think
No, I will, and he'll be really, really pleased to hear that, because he was like a little kid the following day. He said, how many comments have I got? Have I got many comments? Do they like it? You know, he was really worried, and even now I still get emails to say, oh, someone's posted on your blog. And, you know, I tell him, and he's like a little kid. I think I keep saying, maybe you should do it a little bit more often, but for me, I sit there and 20 minutes at the end of the night, it's like, blah, 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 get it all out. But he sat there for hours composing that blog.
Wow, it was beautiful.
And, yeah, so I'll let him know.
Let him know, because it was very inspirational. And also kind of, you know, when you're thinking of two people being together, you can see the kindred spirit aspect of it when you read Kevin's blog, because, you know, it was just really beautiful the way he put things. So it was much appreciated. So you tell Kevin you keep on writing.
That's good.
We appreciate it. And also, I saw on Facebook your birthday is coming up this Friday.
It is. And, you know, it's coming up on Friday. And, you know, my husband, I mean, this is bizarre. He actually surprised me with a surprise birthday party on Saturday night with all my friends. And that's how wonderful he is. And everyone was saying, how do you surprise a psychic?
Yeah, I was.
You know. And so really, it was really, really lovely. So, yeah, he's a darling guy. And, yes, I do have a birthday. I'm getting older.
Well, just happy birthday for Friday. I know I won't be talking to you then, so there you go. I'm going to get it in there, okay?
Thank you so much. I'm going to be heading to New York to have a bit of a fun time with a friend of mine.
Good, wonderful. Well, I'm up in New York, so I'm visiting my daughter and my two grandchildren for a couple of weeks, and I have to say, it's a wonder I made it to this show, because two-year-olds, they just don't get that you've got to get ready for a show or you've got work to do. They don't get that at all. So I'm just amazed that I'm here. So anyhow, and you know, I was also looking at your website at all the public appearances you have scheduled. I mean, besides just the busy schedule in the United States, I see in September you're going to United Kingdom, to Australia, New Zealand. I do want to say that the cruise in October for Hay House. I mean, how do you manage such a hectic schedule?
You know, there's a secret to it, and the secret is not to look at your schedule.
Okay.
I guess
that's
that would
the
work.
Only way to cope. You know, I tend to only think about 2 weeks in advance, because if I think any further ahead, it would drive me crazy. And, you know, I'm leaving on Thursday to go and see my friend in New York, and then I go on to do Lowell, Massachusetts, and Rochester, and then after mm-hmm. that I head off to England.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually away, and today was the first day that I started to panic, because I'm actually away as of Thursday for a whole month, a little bit over a month.
Oh, wow.
And I started to panic, and in front of me is my to-do list for England, which includes visas and passports and everything else.
Oh, dear.
And I just can't cope. I fortunately have an amazing assistant. But when it comes to my shows, I literally don't look at it. I look at it 2 days before I'm about to leave. I then start my preparation of packing. Obviously, England and Australia has taken a lot of working out, because I'm literally arriving 18 hours before the first show in Australia after going from England. So I'm going to be doing a whole around-the-world trip within 40 days, basically. So that's going to take a little bit more planning. But, yeah, I try not to look at my schedule. In fact, I've got it up in front of me, and I'm thinking, oh, my God.
I've got your schedule up in front of me, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, and I'm not even going.
And that doesn't actually include any of the full dates that I have in the U.S. because we're about to announce tomorrow. I have a call with my promoters in the U.S. and mm-hmm. We're about to announce the full tour for the U.S. So obviously what you see here is probably going to also have maybe another 15 dates on there for the
right.
rest of the year.
So we'll just take a moment and we'll tell anyone that's listening that, you know, Lisa literally, you know, I have to say one of the most dedicated people to be traveling to all these places to share your abilities with people. But if you go to lisawilliams.com, and there's a show and appearance page, and you certainly, you probably update them. And I'm pretty sure she's coming to some place close by you from the looks of this huge list of yours of the places you're going to be. But upcoming June 24th, you're going to be in Rochester, New York, right? And you're going to be in
yes.
Maine June 25th. And
yes, and then, in fact, the Lowell one is actually with the three mediums. There's Colette Baron-Reed, there's myself and John Holland, and we'll be taking the stage. So
mm-hmm.
That's going to be slightly unusual. But then you know, then in August, we're also trying to get a Vegas date in there somewhere.
Oh,
I know. So, yeah.
For more reasons than I care to discuss. Okay. Wonderful. Well, it's a busy schedule, I have to say that. But, you know, I was also reading and your website, and you were discussing or more or less saying what to expect at one of your live events. And I think
mm-hmm.
the thing, you know, it's something that's very evident in your blogs, the human factor with you, the tremendous amount of love that you have. And I think what touched my heart is you actually wrote and said, please enjoy the evening, and after the show, I meet those who wish to stay in the lobby of the theater for a photo and a hug. And I thought that was just, you know, that shows, you know, a heart, a huge heart. And that touched me so much to see that. I imagine that's got to be a pretty long hug line.
It's a pretty long hug line. and, you know, what amazes me is people wait. They wait maybe 2 hours just to have their 30 seconds with me. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, it still blows me away. And as I'm getting towards the end of the line, my first thing is hi, how are you, and thank you for waiting. And it surprises me how many people say, oh, my God, I would wait forever. And, you know, it's really lovely. And there's times sometimes where I feel it's necessary. I do switch off in that line, because obviously I would be there for hours if I read for everybody.
Right,
but
sure.
there are times that, you know, I get information through
mm-hmm.
and I then have to give it to that person. And I, you know, I'm never, you know, sort of like tight with my time. I always, if I feel I've got a message for someone, I will give it to them, and you know, and I always apologize to people standing behind them, because it's like, I'm really sorry, you're going to have to wait for this. And I can be there maybe for another 5 minutes. I mean, last week we had one that was a very big murder, sadly, in the Midwest.
Uh-huh.
And the lady came up to me, and she was just distraught. And we sat there. We all started crying in the end. She was there for about 15 minutes. And fortunately, there was only probably about 8 people behind her. So, but it was still getting on to 1 o'clock. And people are just so appreciative of that mm-hmm. message. And then those people who have waited are also understand it. Because what you find in your, when you're waiting in line is that you tend to meet people who you really need to connect with. It's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you share stories and everything like that. So those people who was waiting after that lady completely mm-hmm. knew her story and totally understood why I spent that time with her that I did. And it's so important, it really is. So for me, it's not just a hug. It's an exchange of energy. I always have photos there that I sign.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just love it. And it's probably one of my favorite parts of the night.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I, you know, that touched me. I mean, it just says something about you, and probably, I would say, why, you know, people genuinely are very adoring of you, because I think they, you know, oftentimes, I think when you're in this type of work of helping and healing people, and certainly being a spiritual person or someone to look up to, you know, it's one thing to talk the talk, but it's another to walk the walk. And I think when you show that kind of love, and you do it so generously, you know, it does make people adore you and really appreciate you. And so I thought that was really extraordinary what I saw on your website. So,
well,
you know, and
you.
Speaking of your website, there's a reason why people wait in line for you. You know that, don't you? Because,
yeah, I see. I've never understood it.
Well, now I'm reading. I got on your site for children, kids with gifts. Which
yes.
is really, first and foremost, what a wonderful website. So special if a young child, you know, is on there and maybe can get some information about what's going on with them if they're having, you know, paranormal activity or they're seeing or hearing or feeling things. And I think it was a wonderful website. And I want to talk about that a little bit more, but what I wandered across was, what are there earth angels, and how do I know if I'm an earth angel? And from what I read there, Lisa, now, of course, people are going to wait in line to meet an earth angel, don't you think?
Well, thank you. I suppose they would. And, you know, it's funny because I suppose we never see ourselves that way.
Right. Right.
You know, so, yeah, thank you.
Well, I read that and I thought, you know, that's so true. You know, I really can see that in you. And I think what was really interesting, too, is that you put about the ringing in the ears, that you never knew what was causing it, and then you recently found out it was a characteristic of being an earth angel, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
And I thought, I've had ringing in my ears for so long, I can't stand it. I sleep with a fan at night because it won't shut off even at night. And I was thinking, well, gee, maybe, just maybe, maybe I'm an earth angel. Who knows?
Absolutely. And you know what you're doing by this show is you're bringing this all to light. You bring in spirituality to light. So, of course, you've been put on here for a reason.
Right, right. Well, it was wonderful. It was a nice way to think of you. So I thought, well, from now on, I'm just going to think of Lisa Williams, the Earth Angel. I think that works for me. So,
thank you.
But getting back to this Kids with Gifts, Lisa, now why did you go and make that website? What was your motivation?
The motivation behind Kids with Gifts was really because I used to have a lot of emails saying, my child's got a gift, or my child is sensing things, my child is aware of these things. Is it something I should be scared of? What does this mean? I then started getting emails off a lot of children who really weren't sure what to do with this and were scared.
Mm-hmm.
And then I pulled on Charlie's experience, and I really wanted, you know, I understood Charlie when he used to come downstairs and say, Mommy, there's a spirit in my bedroom, come and get rid of it, you know, and I'm mm-hmm. thinking, oh, here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really decided to create this website, and I haven't really done a huge amount with it. I've just put all information up there. I didn't want it to be too interactive.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted it as an informative site, really.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I try to pull on every side of things that, you know, kids would look at. So, you know, I also had to include the parents. So there's a parents page in there. They have a place to go. Because obviously the parents want to check out a site before the children looks at it. And then spirit guides and dreams. And then there was something about crystals and auras and chakras and angels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I just pulled in as much information as I could. And it's quite interesting because one of my friends is actually Jo Frost's super nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it one day. And she said, you know, there's nowhere really for kids to go. And that's when I created the site. And I spent a lot of time on there looking at what really they would understand. And I tried to write it from as if I was talking to my son.
Sure.
So I try to be very, I suppose, basic is probably the wrong word, but probably simple with my words. I didn't want to, you know, kind of blind them with science.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's interesting. There's lots of questions and answers and lots of pictures. And so I think it's very informative.
I do too.
Yeah, and I think it really helps them. So, and it also pulls on my son's experience of what he feels like. So, you know, it's only an informative website. Sometimes the children still email me and they say, I'm still scared. And it's like, okay, so let's talk about this. So, but it does help them, and it helps parents too.
Right. Well, one of the difficulties, I think, in interviewing people that are psychics is they always answer your very next question, which you already did. Because I was, you know, one of the things I wanted to point out that I thought that this was a wonderful place even for parents to go, because you have a page for parents, but it's also, you know, they can take that information and even help their child with that information. So I think it works on both levels, not only for the children but also for the parents. But, you know, of course you answered that, so I guess I'll just move on. One of the hard things about interviewing psychics and mediums, I have to say. The other thing that I did want to ask you really quickly, and this really comes out of curiosity from watching your TV program, especially Life Among the Dead, they often sent you to locations I saw where the houses were haunted. And some locations made you very obviously uncomfortable. And I was assuming from watching the program that these locations had some negative energy. So I guess my question is, you know, how does negative energy make you feel? How much different is it from positive or good energy? And then going along those lines, is there anything in your travels, anything that's ever happened that went beyond your expectations, or anything about spirit that still surprises you?
Well, it's interesting because with the TV show Life Among the Dead, we, you know, obviously the producers had been and researched these properties and these houses and places. And I literally knew nothing about anything. In fact, if anybody was to leak any information out to me, that reading wouldn't go ahead, and that person would be fired, sadly. It happened once where they accidentally opened, you know, they accidentally gave me a call sheet when I shouldn't have seen the name of the person. And that person was taken off the show and put into the office back at the production office. So, you know, they were very careful about what they gave, what information they gave me. And so it's, you know, there were times that I went into these places and it really did scare me. I don't like negative energy. Most people don't. I'm very, very sensitive to it, where some people don't realize it's negative energy that's around them. And so I start feeling all grouchy and grumpy and, you know, even before I've actually got there, I'm sort of preparing myself and, you know, I'm thinking about the day, what I've got ahead of me. And I start getting all grumpy and grouchy and I'm like, oh, I don't want to go. And then there's times that I go to these places and it's like, oh, well, this isn't haunted at all. This is just remnants of old energy.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
On some of them, there are real, real negative. And I remember going to one house, and it was an actual portal for spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just and I'm not actually sure whether it was aired or not, but it was really, there was two sisters, and she used to mess with the art. I don't think it was aired, actually. She used to mess with a Ouija board.
Sure.
And she was obviously asking for spirits to come to her, which when you're using a Ouija board, you can get all sorts of stuff coming through.
Mm-hmm.
And so she used to use the Ouija board, but when she moved, or when they all moved, the house that they moved to, it's a very old site, and there was a lot of sacrifices. There was a lot of sort of strange ceremonies that used to go on in that place before
mm-hmm.
they lived there, and it was really a portal of the spirits.
Mm.
So for her to be playing with the Ouija board in this area, it was like you're asking for trouble.
Sure.
And I walked in and I thought, I really don't want to be in here. And what actually happened was I was in this tiny, tiny closet, which, I mean, it was just ridiculously tiny. You could just about walk in one person. There was no way another person could get in. And she'd got a lot of black bags everywhere. And Scotty, my camera guy, had walked in just to film some footage of me walking into the room. And then, you know, we had to switch places. And so I walked in and, you know, I went around this little tiny corner. And then I turned around as if to walk back out. And there was this massive black bag that was put in my pathway. And I turned to Scott and I said, did you put that there? And he said, no. He said, you'd have heard it. And it was literally within seconds, I mean 3 or 4 seconds, that I said something, turned around, and then this black bag is right in my pathway. There was no way I could have got around it. You know, I just couldn't have missed it. And I freaked out. And
right.
It was in this closet area that this is where the portal of the spirits were. And it was just horrible. And that night, I actually ended up coming home with several spirits attached to me. So it's pretty scary, and I had to, you know, try and cleanse myself and get rid of them. And I always cleanse the team that I'm working with.
Sure.
But it never ceases to surprise me what I come across. I find really that I learn on every experience, because that one I had to learn. I learned to deal with it in a totally different way, and that was probably the most negative spirit I've ever come across.
Wow.
And really, there was there's many, many encounters that I've actually had, and they've all impacted me in various different ways. But I never stop learning. They still surprise me. I'll sit and say something to people, and it's like, really? Is that what happened? And I'll be completely blown away, because, you know, I often find that I get this information, I don't know where it's coming from yet, it's then mm-hmm. being validated, and it still surprises me. So,
imagine.
You know, I'm just a girl that uses her gift, and I like to say I'm just the radio. I'm just, you know, there's the spirits of the actual, you know, hosts of the show, and then the listeners are the people who I'm talking to. I'm just the radio that has to have the frequency in the right place. So
right, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, it still surprises me.
Oh, well, I would think that you know, I was just wondering if ever you get to the point where there's no, you've seen it all, but I guess not. So
no, I don't think there is.
It's a journey.
I don't think there's ever a point where you get to the point
right.
and think, I've seen
right.
it all, because if you get to that, that place, then mm-hmm. why continue to do it?
Right, right. Well, listen,
you know,
Lisa.
I always like to be surprised.
Right. Listen, Lisa, I do know that there the lines that we probably have some of your fans and people that would just like, you know, to say hello, maybe a comment or two. And I know that you said that if you, that you know, doing readings on the radio in such a short constraint of time is very difficult. However,
mm-hmm.
if you feel as though you're getting something, you would be happy to share that. But for the most part, we're going to open up the lines for our listeners. You know, and if you've got a question, you know, maybe a paranormal question for Lisa, or would like her advice upon something, I'm sure that Lisa would be delighted to answer your questions. Maybe you have some comments. Maybe you've seen her somewhere and seen one of her shows and maybe have something to say. And like I said, if Lisa gets something, she'll certainly give you that information. I'm going to open up the lines, Lisa, if you're ready.
Absolutely.
Okay, well then let me just give out the numbers. You can call toll-free worldwide at 888-815-9756. You can call in on these following lines, 530-776-5185, 530-413-5411, 530-876-3222, or 530-876-9916. If you didn't catch those numbers, just go to www.bbsradio.com, look on the front page, and look for the telephone numbers for Station 1, and they'll be opening up the lines in just a moment or two. Well, they're going to open up the lines immediately, I guess. Who's calling, please? Hello?
Hello?
Hi there. Who's this?
Hi, I'm Sandra.
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Allison?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Minnesota. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. How are you, Sandra?
Oh, I'm great. I was calling because, first of all, I was one of those people that stood in the line for the hug. I was in your show last fall, and it was such a important meeting, and without sounding too kind of cliche, you really saved my life. You are the real thing, and you're pretty authentic. My question is to you, Lisa. My father passed away very unexpectedly, and I was wondering if there are ways I could learn how to, and also I lost five other people in 1 year, how I can kind of tune into that kind of energy.
Do you ever sense things around you as well? Do you maybe look out the corner of your eye, wonder who's standing there, or feel someone's behind your back?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah. It's these things that you need to be aware of, because what happens is the spirit wants to communicate with us in various different forms, and we get given symbols and signs, and we get feelings, and you have to use all your five senses. So sometimes you may get a taste and you actually haven't eaten something. So if your father was a coffee drinker, you may get the taste of coffee. You may get the smell of a flower that was their favorite flower or perfume. You may also get almost a feeling that someone's standing behind you, and then you'll turn and look, and that's, you know, and it'll be, no one will be there, and it'll be like, okay, hi, just, you've got to say hi. You may get that little bit of a light brush on your face. And really, this is what happens to mediums, is we try to pick up on all these signs. Now, can I ask you a question, Sandra? Was your father a large character in the sense of either a strong character or a big jolly guy?
Strong in character, yes, absolutely.
Because as I'm talking to you, I feel the energy of a larger person, you know. And he may not have been physically large, but his energy's large. That's the only way I can explain it. And so that would help you when you're trying to, you know, communicate with your loved ones. You know, for me, it felt like there was an energy presence here that was large. I also would have to say, could he be quite a difficult man?
Yes.
Because he's difficult. I feel a stubbornness.
Put it mildly, yes.
Okay, I feel a very stubbornness. A nice guy is not giving me anything. Okay, thank you. I want to say charming guy to me. I think if you were outside of the family, very charming. But to some people in the family, very stubborn. And may have caused a few issues. Okay, thank you. And, okay, excuse me, here we go. Would you feel that he would need to apologize to you? Because he keeps wanting to apologize to you.
It makes perfect sense, because right before he died, we had a falling out, and we never really rectified that. You know, that's why it's very, for me, partly, you know, because...
Yeah, because he keeps saying,
yeah.
Tell her I'm sorry. And it's important that you receive that information. And, you know, he's not a man of many words. He's a man who is... I would say private. He wouldn't air his dirty laundry in public. And he's just nodded at me. But, you know, that's how to get that information. He's just trying to work out, you know, is it big or is it small? Or, you know, like the energy, do I feel someone big or small behind me? And also, everybody strives to try and get to our, you know, like a medium. And but what happens is we do it every single night when we go to bed. You know,
right.
Often we dream of our loved ones and they start coming through, and that's when we think, wow, was that a dream or was that reality? You know? And actually,
right.
What
I definitely
doing
had one evening where I was not asleep, but he kissed me on the cheek.
That's
and
it.
I thanked
that's
him. There was no question about it. I said, am I losing my mind? Hello, I'm all by myself. And it was one of those moments that I'll cherish forever. And I
absolutely
really felt that.
Absolutely. You know, often people think that they are dreams, but they're not. They're in that waking moment that sort of like as you're waking up or as you're just falling asleep, that's the state of mind that as a medium we strive to get in every time when we do a reading. However, we do it every single night. But yeah, your father's a charming man, very, very charming man, adorable.
The fact that I'm a kidney donor to him, that I gave a kidney to him, am I more connected to him than most, or is that a factor in it? By any chance?
Well, I mean, really, I suppose it is a factor. I think it keeps you emotionally with a tie. But I think really what happens is when we, and I'm writing a book actually on this about what happens when we die, we lose a lot of our ties to the earth plane. And, you know, the fact that you gave him a kidney, you were the donor to him, certainly has an energetic tie, absolutely. But they don't forget this, but it's almost like, well, that was, I don't want to call a kidney a materialistic thing, but it was a physical thing.
It was a physical thing.
And they no longer have a physical body. So yes, there's a tie to it, and it's there's an energetic bond, but they don't have their body. Do you understand what I'm trying to get at here?
Absolutely do.
But you do have a very strong connection and a very energetic tie, so yes.
There has to be a strong connection before I even offer my kidney, yes. So, the emotional connection is definitely what I'm talking about because I know they're out of the physical body. But we were very, very close. And
he's a lovely man, still is.
Thank you.
Okay, Sandra, thanks for calling in.
I thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
Lisa.
Sandra.
All righty. Well, you know, Lisa, do you find very often that when you're doing a reading for someone, that reading could apply to someone else almost word for word?
Absolutely. And I always say,
through.
Absolutely. And I always say in my readings, certainly on a live event, I always say, you know, listen to things, because what you'll find is two people can take one message.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be the fact that somebody else is trying to get their message across. And I may say a sentence that person who I'm actually physically reading for can't relate to. But
right.
The other person who can also relate to everything else can relate to,
right.
You know, and they're like, oh, my God, I'm getting a message. And it's really important that people pick up on that because, you know, the spirits will work together to try and get as much information across as possible.
Sure, because I actually, when you were talking about her father, it sounded just like mine, so I was sitting there going, wow, that's just weird. So that's just almost exact, so that's why I asked that question.
Did your father have a problem with his leg?
No, well, he was very ill towards the end, so there was multiple things.
And it just felt as though there was a difficulty with his blood and his circulation on his legs.
Yes, there was blood. He did have problems, yeah.
Yeah, there you
go. Yeah. But I think that we have another caller, so I'm going to see who's calling, please. Hello?
Hi, this is Patty from New York.
Hi, Patty. Can you speak up, please?
Sure. My question to Lisa was, I was wondering, how do you tell if you have a karmic connection with someone, and if you do, how do you resolve it in this lifetime? I'm having a disagreement with someone, and I can't seem to fix it.
Right, that's a really interesting question, and hi, Patty, a lot of people have that question. We're all part of a certain soul group, and have you ever felt that you've known this person before?
Yes.
Okay. The chances are that you've probably had a past life with them. And sometimes this happens when you just meet someone and you feel you know them within the first 5 minutes. And, you know, what happens is you have to try to work out. Now, for me, there are several ways of doing this. You can do some meditation. You can certainly meditate this. And I think Dr. Brian Weiss has an amazing book that I think it's called Mirrors of Time Meditation, which I would suggest anybody do because it's incredible. And, you know, you can ask certain questions. You can communicate with your spirit guides. I have a meditation CD where you communicate with your angels and spirit guides, and you certainly ask those questions. Most of the time, when you do have a connection with someone and there's a disagreement, you just have to allow it to flow, because sometimes you can't force things. You just have to sit back and say, okay, this has to play out. And often when we force situations down a pathway, we get the wrong result. If we just allow things to transpire, and I suppose sometimes we have to form a thick skin and we have to do a lot of protection on ourselves, we get through this. And what happens is we find where we're supposed to be in life, the pathway. And that person may not be in your life for the rest of your life. They may have had to come in your life, touch it for a very short period of time, and then move on. And they may be coming in to teach you a lesson. But it's always a hard lesson. And certainly when friendships or relationships are involved and you feel very connected to that person, you often wonder, why are they in my life and what is the reason for it and what is the purpose? And sometimes they're just in your life to teach you, I know, the purpose of letting go. Does that make sense, Patty?
I understand what you're saying. I guess I haven't figured out the purpose.
And it's difficult to figure out the purpose. It really is difficult to. But you have to. And sometimes you never figure out the purpose until either you've sat back away from that relationship for a period of time, or you're through the issue. Because
right.
You have to find out. You have to resolve the issue before you can actually find out the purpose. It's quite weird.
I'd like to resolve it in this lifetime so I never have to deal with it again.
Of course. Yes. What I would do is I would actually try to... do you ever meditate at all?
I do.
Okay. I would try to meditate. Do you actually communicate with your spirit guides or angels?
I guess I don't know them, but I talk to someone. I'm not sure who it is.
Okay. That's a good start. I would ask a question, and I would... it's very easy to allow our own conscious mind to be involved in meditation. And so what I would do is I would sit there with a pen and paper, and I would ask certain questions. I would ask them to communicate with you, ask them their name, the spirit guide's name. You'll get given information. And it may only just be certain letters that you will think, hold on, this doesn't make any sense. But allow your conscious mind to be pushed back, and then ask for the reason, the purpose of your life, and you know, the life lessons that you have to learn, and they'll give you those as well. They may give you symbols, they may give you feelings, and again, you just have to use those. And then ask a question about this person. Ask them, okay, why is this person in my life? What is it that I have to learn? Is this issue going to be resolved? And ask questions, very basic questions. You can start with a yes or a no. So, you know, if you get given a yes, you just put a tick. If you get given a no, you just put a cross. And so really, Ask your spirit guides and try and do some form of meditation, and that will try and help you. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for calling.
Good luck.
You know, it's really interesting to me, Lisa, especially, you know, because I'm a numerologist, and there's so much going on in numerology charts about karma. And what I find really interesting is that there's certain specific numbers, and the people that they have relationships with almost have the number that goes with the karma. It's like they each have different kinds of karma, but it represents something that occurred in a past life. So, you know, when she was talking about that, I was just seeing those numbers flash in front of my head. And numerology goes a long way with explaining karmic relationships. And I do think
amazing.
That they're difficult to figure out exactly. And also, some people actually, I think that part of the reason why they're here is they're in, there's something about their life where they're actually working through a lot of karma with people from the past is the sole purpose of their life. And so they have all these karmic relationships that come in and out of their life throughout their life, so there seems to be always closing doors in relationships. I found that question personally quite interesting.
It's interesting because often you find that people are trying to close doors and they're moving on and they're trying to work out, you know, what is it that I have to resolve in this lifetime so I don't have to repeat it again. But mm-hmm. sometimes you just have to, you know, allow the lesson to play out in itself, and you might find that without even pushing it or trying to resolve anything, you may find that the lesson actually resolves itself and you don't have to repeat it again.
Sure. Okay, well, Lisa, I do think that we do have another caller, so let me check. Who's calling, please?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Hello?
Do you have a question for Lisa?
Yes, I do. Ashley, I was wondering how you can determine, like, when you're feeling the negative energy from positive energy on people, and how you can tell and try to surround yourself from not picking up all the negative vibes.
Well, that's a good question, and thank you for bringing that up, because obviously a lot of people experience positive and negative energy. for me, negative energy often feels very heavy, very dense. And have you ever walked into a room and thought, oh, I don't like that person? Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I kind of did that on Saturday.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. Is, you know, you negative people, they, and those are those people who, you know, oh, nothing ever goes right for me. The glass is always half empty instead of half full. Or, you know, they're very negative. It's like, oh, this has gone wrong. They can't see the positive side in life. And sadly, the more negative they become, the negative energy they actually put out there into the universe. And what we find is if we're very, very positive people, we find that we don't want to connect with certain people. We find that, you know, we just stay away from them. And it's quite interesting because, you know, people who are very close to me, they say, why do you not like that person for some reason? I'm like, no, it's not the fact I don't like them. I just don't feel connected to them. And it's all an energy thing. But you'll find that the energy is heavy, or you'll just have a gut feeling that they're negative and you may not have even met them, which is probably what happened to you on Saturday night. And that's what you have to look out for. Because like attracts like, positivity attracts positivity. And for me, you know, our auras are have a very important part to play in this, because what happens is the auras, when we meet someone, the auras connect. And we start picking up on negative energy. And it's actually too late for us to do a form of protection while we're with that person. What we have to do is step away and allow our aura to be sort of on our own. And our aura can stretch out to about 4 or 5 foot from us. So I always say get into a place of where you feel safe. And I always go to the bathroom. I always go into the bathroom, into a cubicle, because I'm on my own. You know, there's no one else normally there. I've got that little wall around me. And I then actually put a cloak over the top of my head and I roll it all the way down to my feet. And I always make sure that I'm protected and I have this cloak under my feet. The reason is then nothing's exposed. And then I shower that cloak and myself with white light of protection. And that's when I feel like, okay, I'm ready to go back out there and go and meet that person or go and be in that situation. It's like what happens when I go into a haunted house. And so really, you can put up that form of protection, that barrier. And it's important that we do that, because what happens is the more we're surrounded by that negative energy, the more it can rub off on us. And we have to, then it's harder to actually get out of us to pull out the negative energy from us.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay,
so,
great.
You're welcome, dear. Try to smile and put out positive energy, and you'll find that like attracts like, and and certainly protect yourself. That's important.
Right. Okay, Lisa.
Okay, great. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Good luck, and dear.
Bye-bye.
Lisa, as much as I hate to say it, you know, we can't really take any more callers because we only have a few minutes left on the show, which I can't believe how quickly time flies when you're having fun.
I can't.
Yeah, but I did want to ask you one really quick last question because I really kind of see you kind of being the Oprah of the spiritual world. I really can see you in that kind of a venue. Have you ever thought or do you have any plans or any visions for the future of maybe someday having a television show along those lines?
Okay, this is going to sound really strange, Alison, and you should be psychic yourself because, I sat there with my agent not long ago and I said, my vision, I want to be Oprah of the spirit world.
Okay, well, there you go.
And, yes, there's a lot of things. I'm actually, you know, I'm no longer in contract with Life Among the Dead, which is good because it means that I can explore other opportunities. I've just done something with a celebrity rehab with Dr. Drew, helping, helping them sort of move on and giving them some insight for positive
sure.
thinking. But, yeah, I do have a lot of ideas. We're at the moment editing a TV show, which is my own show. They're live events that may be coming out into the U.S. I know they're certainly going out into Europe and Australia. But, yeah, I do want to go down that road. I do want to – that's my aim. I aim to have some form of show that will really bring in – look at all sorts of different alternatives, really. You know, so
mm-hmm.
we'll look at healing. We'll look at spirituality
mm-hmm.
and trying to really just educate people into a different approach to life. So, absolutely, that is my hope and that is my dream.
Okay, well then, you have my best wishes on that and prayers that you get there someday because I think you would be perfect for that. And
thank
our
you.
Time has officially ended. So I just want to thank you so much, Lisa. I know from your schedule how busy you are, and I do thoroughly appreciate you taking the time to come on my show again. Everyone
well,
loves you, and I'm delighted to have you. So thank you.
Well, thank you to you and obviously your listeners for having me back because it's always a pleasure.
Well, anytime. Our house is your house. And I just want to remind our listeners to please visit Lisa's website, which is www.lisawilliams.com. There's spiritual development courses. There's Lisa's signature jewelry. There's music and meditation. There's T-shirts even. So just a lot of things to explore on her website. Lisa, have a wonderful evening. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Good night, dear. And everyone that called in and all of our listeners, thanks so much for tuning in to Visible by Numbers, and we'll be back again next week with Veronica Drake. Until then, have a wonderful evening. Good night, everyone.
Thank you for joining us this evening. For more information, or if you wish to contact Allison for a reading, please visit www.visiblebynumbers.com or email Allison at alynch@ptd.net. Have a wonderful evening and be well.